David Hamilton. And Jammu Sokhand. Present Amir Khan. Nandita Das. Introducing Raul Khanna. Mai Sethna. In a Deepa Mehta film. With narrative description by Audiovision Canada. 1947. A young girl colors at a table.
I was 8 years old, living in Lahore in March of 1947, when the British Empire in India started to collapse. Along with talks of India's independence from Britain, came rumblings about its division into two countries, Pakistan and India. Hindus, Muslims and Sikhs, who had lived together as one entity for centuries, suddenly started to clamor for pieces of India for themselves. The arbitrary line of division the British would draw to carve up India in August of 1947. Would scar the subcontinent forever.
With her knee in a metal brace, the girl hobbles into the living room of her beautiful home. She admires a porcelain plate and intentionally drops it. She stares at the shattered pieces on the floor. A beautiful woman runs in. Oh God, what have you done, Lenny baby? She quickly picks up the pieces. A Muslim man, Imam, runs in. I thought the Americans had dropped another atom bomb.
Yusuf,
come and see. As the beautiful young woman, Shanta, grins at Lenny, Yusuf walks in. What would Madam say? Good God, she says as she runs in.
I did it, Mommy.
My sweet.
You spoke the truth. I love you.
What's one plate? Break a hundred.
Good girl.
Mommy, can one break a country? What happens if the English break India where our house is? How will I get to the park then?
No one's going to break India. Where did you hear this?
Lenny's mom, Bunty Sethna, looks sternly at Shanta. Madam, I've heard before the British give us independence. They will dig a long canal. One side independent India, one side Pakistan. If they want two countries, that's what they'll do, right, madam? What rubbish, Shanta. Shanta looks to the ground. And Bunty leads Lenny out of the room. Outside, a young man with a small ponytail. Hurry! Cuts roses from a flower bed. He approaches Yusuf. It's a sin to cut flowers after sunset. They're sleeping, he says. Just as well. Imagine their pain if they're awake, Yusuf replies, then carries the flowers into the kitchen. Here, have a roti. No thanks. Have one, Iman says to Shanta. You need strength to look after that rascal Lenny. And a cousin Adi. He's a terror. Don't be so hard on them. They're asleep now. Lenny and her bespectacled cousin Adi hide under the dining room table during a formal dinner party. She points to a pair of loafers and whispers, Mr. Singh, he owns buffaloes.
Mrs. Singh.
Mrs. Buffalo, Adi jokes. Shut up, I know.
Oh, you must listen to this one, Mr. Rogers. A British soldier and an Indian find themselves sharing a railway compartment.
This is Lenny's favorite joke, my daughter.
The Indian lifts the bottle of scotch to his mouth again and again. He does not offer any to the soldier. When the Indian leaves the compartment for a moment, the soldier quickly takes a sip or two from the bottle. Again, the Indian leaves the compartment and the Tommy sneaks another swig. Finally, they get to talking. Now the soldier confides he took a draw or two from the bottle of scotch. Since you didn't offer it to me, old chap, I helped myself, he exclaims. The native is shocked. But that is my pisab, urine in the bottle, he exclaims. My Ayurved prescribed it as a cure for syphilis.
Lenny's father, Rustam Sethna, smiles at his own joke.
You know, I learned something the other day, Mr. Rogers. That there was no syphilis in India until the British came.
Well, you won't be able to blame everything on us for long, old chap.
Finally, we will have self-rule.
Rogers turns to Singh.
You think you'll be up to it, old boy?
Why not? I'm up to ruling you and your empire. Why then do you think we cannot have self-rule?
Mekya, please don't shout.
I'm not shouting. I'm telling this man to quit India.
Janu, tell everyone the joke about the six knitter socks.
You know, Mr. Roger,
if we quit India today, you'll bloody well fall on each other's throats. Hindus, Muslims, and Sikhs will jockey for power. Wait and see. What about you Parsis? If you jump into the middle of this bloody mess, you'll be mangled into chutney.
Actually, after the British leave, let whoever wishes ruler, Hindu, Muslim, or Sikh. We Parsis are too few in Lahore to take sides, you know. We shall cast a lot with whoever governs Lahore.
Sensible chaps. As for you, dear man, you had better wisen up. The division of India is imminent. The Muslims want their own country. They want a Pakistan.
Shut up, you white man, Singh shouts.
We will settle our differences ourselves.
Another drop of wine, old chap?
Who will settle your differences? You Sikhs with your master Tara Singh?
Yes. He's my leader. I'll obey him.
Tara Singh and his Sikhs are a bloody bunch of murdering fanatics.
Singh grabs Rogers from across the table and holds a fork to his throat. Lenny peeks out.
Ask him to apologize. You apologize.
Go ahead, you hear him.
You son of a fool, Rogers yells. You white monkey, Singh retorts.
It's all for my sake.
It's all right. I'm sorry, boy. I shouldn't have said that.
Lenny smiles and ducks back under the table as the adults return to their seats.
This bloody country. It's the only home I know.
Of course, Mr. Rogers. You British have done a lot for us. Na Janu? You've built us roads and given us your exemplary postal system and
language! Don't forget English language, beautiful language.
Let's not forget the syphilis.
You better look out, Mr. Singh, before your farmland's nearly outpour or gobbled up by the Muslims.
No motherfucker is taking away my farmland.
Who wants some pudding?
I'd love some pudding.
Me too. Lenny pinches Mrs. Singh's leg, and everyone looks under the table. Later, under a statue of Queen Victoria, a vendor plays a record on a portable phonograph. Let's go, Masoor, Lenny says to a handsome young man, Hassan, who takes her by the hand and leads her through large iron gates into a park. Shanta laughs, sitting in the grass with three smitten men. Come, Lenny, baby, sit, she says as Lenny and Hassan join them. Did you know Lenny baby is afraid of your lion in the zoo? She asks a Sikh man, Sher. Don't worry, Lenny baby. I'll hold on to his chain real tight. He won't dare hurt you. Don't be scared. Shanta hugs Lenny. Nobody lets the lion out of the cage. Besides, the cage is so strong. Even 100 lions can't break it. And I feed the lion a juicy goat every day, adds a Muslim butcher. So why would he want to eat a stick like you? A dashing young man hands Lenny a popsicle. Would your face were pockmarked, like the moon, stars, your gentle beauty would festoon. The ice candy man, Dil, is greeted by his friends. Lenny happily licks her popsicle. And Shanta eats a handful of seeds. As Dil lights a match for a cigarette, he watches Shanta. Hassan gazes at her too. Shanta becomes aware that she's being admired. In beauty's grindstone, Dil says, one grain got stuck. Why worry, Dil Nawaz? The one you love has better luck. I've invented an oil that grows hair on bald heads, Hassan says, producing a small bottle. It has fish and mustard oil, pearl dust and many herbs. Careful, Shanta. It'll grow hair on your fingers. Good God! That's nothing, Hassan, Dil says. I've invented a fertility pill. Really? Shanta asks. I'll try it. I'm not that young anymore, a Hindu man Tota says. You idiot. It's not an aphrodisiac. It's a fertility pill for women. But it's so potent, it can make men pregnant. What's the news from the Viceroy's house? Cher asks. I've heard Gandhi, Nehru, and Mountbatten are really tight. If they are that close, who will champion us Muslims? Dil asks. And who will help Jinnah Sahib? Master Tara Singh and his bleeding herd of Sikhs? Dil Nawaz, who are you calling bleating sheep? Cher asks. You, he replies, poking fun at his friend's stutter. Listen, unless you stop talking about Hindus and Muslims, I'll stop coming to the park. Shanta stands up. This is just a discussion amongst friends. But if you don't like it, we'll stop. Shanta and Lenny leave. Dil is embarrassed. Okay, friends. God be with you. He gets up and follows Shanta and Lenny. He catches up with them outside the park.
Lenny, baby,
you'll get tired. Come, ride on my bicycle. The doctor says she needs exercise. What does the doctor know? You tired, Lenny, baby? Very tired. Dil scoops her up and sits her on the crossbar of his bike. Listen, Shanta. In the eyes of God, we are all equal. You're a Hindu, I'm a Muslim. What's the difference? Again, Hindu-Muslim talk. We'll stop coming to the park.
Sorry, Lenny, baby, sorry.
Soon after, they arrive at the Sethna home. Now you'd better go. I have work.
What work?
Washing and ironing and dusting Madam's room. I'll help. I'm very good at dusting. Are you crazy? Mummy will kick you out in a second. Let me be with you for a while, Dil pleads. Okay, but only for 10 minutes, Shanta says with a smile. In the shade of a large tree in the courtyard, Dil sits with Shanta and Lenny. He lifts the hem of Shanta's sari with his foot. Get lost! You are totally shameless! Don't be angry. Go, or I'll tell madam. Sorry, please forgive me. Why? You'll never change. Why can't you be like the masseur? He's such a gentleman. I'm sorry. He bows deeply, putting his head between his knees. Of no use to the world or to me, this unfeeling heart God's given thee. Lenny playfully kicks him. You rascal. He scoops her into the air and holds her upside down. What are you doing? You're so spoiled. If I dropped you, people would thank me. Put me down, Lenny begs. I'm going to drop you on your face. Someone save me. Help. Dill laughs. Put her down right now. On one condition. You have to come to my house, or I'll drop your Lenny baby. Okay, I'll come. Put her down. Dill sets Lenny down, and the young girl smiles at him. And you, why are you smiling at him? Is he your hero? Lenny nods. Come on, you rascal. So when are you coming to visit? What? Get lost before I beat the hell out of you. Shanta chases him with her sandal. Dill grabs his bike and runs away. Later, colorful kites flap in the wind, flown by happy crowds on their rooftops. Dill hurries to his roof and peers over the edge at the street down below. He steps back inside to put on cologne and preen himself at the mirror. He runs back to his rooftop. We've come, Ice Candy Man. Welcome, welcome. Happy spring, Dill says to Lenny, Imam, Adi, and Shanta. You're beautiful, he tells Shanta. Go on, you flatterer. Come and fly a kite and celebrate this spring festival, Dill says to Iman. Forget your creaking bones today. You fly, I'll watch. Shanta bends a kite into a hat. Careful, Shanta, don't break it. I'll show you how to fly it. Unraveling a long coil of string.
Yeah, there you go.
Dill throws the simple yellow kite into the air. Under his control, it dances across the sky. Lenny flies her own red kite. There are many types of kites. See that one? Dill points to a long string of kites with tails. That's the king of all kites. I didn't know you were such an expert. It's just a hobby. Even I want to fly it. Teach me. Dill hands Shanta the string and stands behind her. Not so heartlessly. Treat the kite like a lover. Woo it, he says, guiding her hands with his. When it acts difficult, let it go. And when you have control, bring it closer. Rascal! Dill holds her tight and sings along with the music. Together they make the kite soar. Dozens of other kites dart through the sky.
जब यूं सजती है एक धूम मचती है सारी गलियों में सारे बाजार में आंचल बसंती है उसमें से छनती है जो मैंने पूजी है मूरत प्यार में जान कैसी है ये डोरी मैं
They're going to cut our kite. No way, Dill says. Look carefully as I cut their kite.
इसकी पतंग मैं कैसे लपेटे में देता हूँ?
He tugs sharply at the string. You cut it, Shanta giggles. Later, Bunty plays a record in the Sethna family parlor.
Chalo, ready?
Jo, I'll show you, you follow me.
She demonstrates the waltz for Lenny.
Two, three, forward and back.
They take each other's hands.
The small steps, huh? 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
They dance together.
Heavenly. Maja aayi gayi? You know, everybody says steam engine. But I say ballroom dancing is the best invention of the British.
Mummy, but cousin Ali says that we Parsis are bum lickers of the English.
too?
What? She picks up her daughter.
Well, I don't think that we are bumblickers, actually.
Then what?
Yeah, miss.
Bunty sits down and Lenny sits on her lap.
You know, have you seen those lizards in the garden? The ones that change color? Sardo, chameleon. The Parsis are a little bit like that, actually.
Lizards?
Chameleon. The Parsis also take on the color of the people around them.
They have to survive.
There are so few Parsis in the world, Lenu. It's safer not to stand out. You know, when the Parsis came to India from Persia 1300 years ago, the Indian prince would not let us enter his country.
He wouldn't let us enter India.
Achi, a wise man, sent a gift to the Indian prince.
A bowl of milk with sugar inside.
And he said, we Parsis will be like the sugar in the milk.
Sweet.
But invisible.
Understand? Lenny nods.
We're not bumlikas, we are invisible.
Bunty's smile fades. Later, as Hassan sits in the courtyard under the tree, a thin man, Moti, sweeps the sandy ground. Lenny approaches with a small, unkempt girl. She looks at Hassan, nudges her friend, and giggles. Papu, quiet, Shanta scolds. Hassan stands beside his bicycle. He shyly hands Shanta a treat, which she eats. Would you like a ride? Yes, but sit in front. It's safer. Good God! Please sit. Shanta eases onto the crossbar, and they ride in circles around the tree. Iman sits nearby smoking a hookah.
Have a long life, children.
Later, in the front driveway, Imam and Hari work to start an automobile.
Oh, my back.
I'll help, Hari says, bending over to turn the crank. Rustam pokes his head out.
Just push the car. Push it.
The two servants join Yusuf at the back of the car, and Papu runs to help them.
What are you doing, Papu?
A woman grabs the girl.
You're a sweeper's daughter. Finish your own work.
Lenny pleads from the back seat.
Stop hitting her.
Mommy, look.
Papu's mother is beating her again. The car leaves the house and drives into town. Is everything okay at work, darling? Rustam ignores his wife as she drives.
This partition nonsense is harming business, Janu.
They drive along a dirt road filled with carts and pedestrians.
You know what Lenny said the other day? She said,
look out! Daddy. Mother chode chabu.
She said, Daddy works so hard for us. When I grow up, I will work in the office so that he can read his newspapers all day. So sweet.
Did you say that, Mama?
My sweet?
Yes, Daddy.
You do not bol.
You shouldn't lie.
Unlike your mother, lying doesn't suit you.
Oh,
darling. As they drive into a narrow market street, a group of protesters marches toward them. Hold on, Bunty says, as the protesters chant, Long live Pakistan. Hurry up, put the window up, as a protester kicks in the windshield. Bunty jumps through the back seat to cover Lenny. Long live Pakistan. They continue to chant as they climb over and around the car. Bunty clings to Lenny in the back seat. As the protest moves on, the Sepna slowly sit up. beside the statue outside the park. Hassan sits waiting. Lenny approaches. Did you go? Yes. They walk hand in hand into the park. Did you pee? Shanta asks as they join the group on the grass. The park has really changed, Hassan notes. Hindus, Muslims, and Sikhs are keeping to themselves. He turns to Shanta. Only the group around you remains the same. Yes, Shanta.
Hindu, Muslim, Sikh.
We all hover around you like moths around a lamp. Some moths, the butcher jokes. You Hindus eat so many beans. It's not surprising your yogis levitate. They probably fart their way to heaven. Wearing a fake beard, Dil rattles a saber under an archway. Can I go? Lenny asks. Yes, go. So today he's become Allah's telephone, Hassan says. Nobody has so many sidelines as our Dil Nawaz. Thank you, Allah, for letting me connect your followers to you, Dil says as a man approaches. He leads Dil to his family. Holy man, we have three daughters. My wife wants to know if Allah will grant her a son.
Yakinan. Bismillah.
Dil touches two wires. As they spark, Lenny smiles. He picks up a telephone and dials. Seven. Eight. Six.
Allah,
do you hear me? This poor woman wants a son. She has three daughters. Do you call this justice? He covers the mouthpiece. Allah has been very busy lately. On one side, independence. On the other side, Muslims and Hindus fighting. He listens to the phone.
Allah!
There is no limit to your generosity. For you, this sonless woman is a queen and will be sonless no more.
Is arat ki god tu zarur bete se bharega. Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
Dil collapses. The man drops a coin into Dil's hand and his wife kisses it. Dil sits up.
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
Holy man, a Sikh asks, telephone Allah and ask him after the British divide India, what will happen to us? Sorry, the line is cut off now. Why is your Allah's line cut off for the Sikhs? You idiot, a Muslim says. This is a private line. If you want to ask questions, telephone your own God. Wait a minute, Dil says. I'll just ask Allah. Allah, have mercy on us. Allah, have mercy on us. Allah says, when the time for division comes, there is going to be a huge storm, and you will all fight like animals. I have to go. I have an appointment with our Muslim leader, Jinnah. He gathers his things and quickly leaves. Later, Rustam arrives home in his car. Papu is getting married. Yes, darling, Bunty says. Her father's arranging her marriage to a Christian.
For her protection, he says. She is only 10 khada. It shouldn't be allowed.
Baba, everything is allowed these days.
Times are bad.
And you know, he has decided to convert. Christian Bunty.
He's becoming a Christian.
Good move, huh? Better than being an untouchable. MBE.
Anyway, these days his Hindu gods don't count for much in Lahore.
You don't look so worried, Mama. We won't marry you off till you're 16 at least. Teacher?
Okay.
Come.
They head inside. Keep the box in your cupboard. Rustam sits on his bed and slips off his suspenders, then lies down and stretches out his legs. Bunty takes off his shoes and socks. Lenny watches as her mother blows on her father's feet. Lenny sneaks along the foot of the bed. She opens the box, unveiling a silver pistol. She gently strokes the shiny weapon. Later, Bunty helps Lenny into a pretty white dress. She ties a bow in the back. You look lovely. Give this to Papu, not her mother.
I already got her a present.
So then she'll have two presents.
Aren't you coming?
Me. You go.
Carrying an envelope from her mother, Lenny hobbles out of the room. She steps outside into the courtyard with the envelope and a wrapped gift. Rings of light shimmer in the evening sky above the seated party guests. Shanta sings for the clapping crowd. Hassan smiles at her. She glances over her shoulder at Dil. Sways to the music and smiles. Iman gives him an encouraging push, and Dil jumps to his feet to dance. Hassan watches as Dil dances with Shanta. Hassan somberly looks away. Dil tries to pull Shanta in for a kiss, but she playfully shoves him away and sits back down. Lenny walks around the guests and into a small room off the courtyard.
Papu.
Wake up, Papu! Wake up!
Papu, utho na.
Papu sits up, wearing an ornate red costume. Lenny pulls back her veil and gives her friend the gifts. She unwraps a big blonde baby doll.
Lame Lenny, will you ever find a bridegroom?
Of course, stupid.
Ice Candy Man, Masoor, Zookeeper,
Hari,
and even Cousin Abby.
Lenny, baby, come quickly. Papu's bridegroom is here. Lenny hurries back into the courtyard, and Papu smiles. Dil lifts Lenny to see the approaching bridegroom. Papu's getting married to a young boy. The short bridegroom is escorted into Papu's room.
His face covered by a veil of flowers, he sits down beside Papu, who plays with her doll. The women of the community hurry into the room and surround the new couple. Lenny sits with Shanta. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The bridegroom sneezes and removes the floral veil. He's an old dwarf. Shanta and Lenny are shocked. Why are they marrying Papu to that old man? Lenny asks. Fear is making people do crazy things these days, Shanta replies, then hugs Lenny. Later, cattle and goats are led through a market street where Shanta walks with Lenny. In a local eatery, they join Hassan, Sher, Tota, and the butcher.
Hey, Chote!
Come here, Chote, and take Madame's order.
Two roti,
one dal, one mata paneer, and make sure it's hot. And what will Lenny baby have?
Caramel custard.
Not here. And what's that?
English pudding.
Bloody English pudding, the butcher grumbles. Do you Parsis think you're English or what? Shame on you. Leave her alone. Don't take your anger out on the child. Why express sorrow? Why cast a tear? When stars are so far, but friends are so near. Jill joins them. Well said. Come and eat, Tota says. Just like a Mughal poet. Hassan peers at the butcher. Forget the Mughals. Talk about today. I feel that when the British divide India, they'll give Lahore to Pakistan. There are more Muslims here. Lahore will stay in India, Tota says. Hindus own most of the business here. But Muslims are greater in number here, says the butcher. So what? People don't matter, money does. Money or no money. We put the fear of God up the Hindu trousers. It might just be the other way around. A serving boy takes the butcher's plate. Are you stupid? You know what I want? The same? No, not the same. Bring me lamb chops. Let him be. You are too soft-hearted, Hassan. Hurry up or else. What about us? Cher asks. We Sikhs own more land than the Hindus or Muslims. Complete lies. Are you calling me a liar? If you want to save your lands, Cher Singh, become friends with the Muslims, Dill says. Even the British say you Sikhs are a headache. A bloody nuisance. We think you're bastards as well. Listen. Once India's divided, all Muslims left on the wrong side of the line will have their balls cut off. Have you gone mad? Hassan asks. We've lived together like brothers for centuries. We share the same language, food and enemies. The Sikhs are the fighting arm of the Hindus. And they are ready to use it against us Muslims. Behold the fighting arm of the murderous Sikhs, Dil jokes. Don't fool yourself. Sikhs have a tradition of violence. Haven't you seen the paintings of their gods holding severed heads dripping with blood? You fucker! Cher grabs him, but their friends pull them apart. Hassan turns to the butcher. Don't talk rubbish. A holy Quran lies in their golden temple in Amritsar. The Sikh faith came about to bring Hindus and Muslims closer. So why fight amongst friends? We'll stand by each other, won't we?
Yes,
we'll stand by each other, Jill says. Won't we, Tota Ramji? Yes, why not? Hassan turns to the butcher, then to Shanta. Dil notices them looking at each other. Later, Shanta and Lenny walk down a path beside a stone ruin in the hot afternoon sun. Shanta helps Lenny over the rocky ground. They find Hassan sitting on a blanket in a field. He sees them and grins. Shanta sits down beside him, smiling bashfully. Sit, Lenny, baby. No. Lenny wanders away.
Lenny, baby,
don't go too far. Hassan relaxes and gazes at Shanta. She plays with her long braid. Lenny sits down on a rock overlooking the field. Hassan sits up and pulls Shanta in close. He leans in and kisses her. She smiles bashfully, and he kisses her again. Lenny watches, scowling. At night, Hassan rides his bike down a dimly lit alley. He pulls around a corner and stops at a slow procession blocking the path. Dozens of somber families travel through the city. One man carries a large crate on his shoulders. Another carries a table and other possessions. Hassan watches with great sadness as the long line of people walks past. The street is filled with corralled refugees. A solemn woman carries a baby in her arms. Ox-driven carts haul entire households. A man carries a goat over his shoulders. Hassan swallows hard as his eyes well up. Refugee camp to the right, a military officer announces through a megaphone. Keep right for the refugee camp.
Come on.
of stern-faced military men looks on. Hassan touches his Quranic necklace. In the morning, Lenny bounces a ball off a wall in the courtyard.
Down the lane, what's your sharp lollipop? What do you drink? Blue ink. What do you eat?
As her mother watches from the house,
what's your name? Johnny. Where do you live?
Mr. and Mrs. Singh slowly approach. Good afternoon. Please come in and sit down.
What do you eat?
A cup of tea. No, thank you. Even the Malhotras and Guptas have left.
The Guptas too? Come.
When? 2 hours ago, to Amritsar City.
I don't think there's any Hindu family left in Warsaw.
Lenny joins them.
Not now, Lenny.
As does Rustam.
Yeah,
how are you, Jaswant? Good afternoon. Rustam sits and takes off his pith helmet.
So, khabar?
Have you heard the news?
Gurdaspur
City has been given to India.
Bloody English.
Playing God under the ceiling fans
of the Hoare Hotel.
Distributing Indian cities like pack of cards. Amritsar to India. Sialkot to Pakistan. Pathankot to India. Lahore. My Lahore.
The bastard. They break my country in two and hand it to us and say,
Happy Independence?
Setra Sahib, we've decided. We're leaving Lahore.
Is there any way in which we can help?
Could we leave some of our belongings with you? Yes, yes.
Of course.
Bring whatever you want. We'll keep them with the Kapoor's things. Please, don't worry. Mrs. Singh takes her hand.
Shirinder ji, we'll come and help you tonight. Then Baba go play with Aya.
As Lenny heads back outside, Mr. Singh namastes, then hugs Rustam. At night, Dil squats, thinking and waiting. He hauls on a cigarette and exhales. He wipes the sweat from his face with a scarf. Waits on a crowded train platform with dozens of other people. Standing up, Dil stretches his back. He walks through the crowd toward the station master. It's 12 hours late. Any news about the train from Gurdaspur? Trust in Allah, brother, the station master tells him. Throwing his scarf around his neck, he returns to his spot on the platform.
train rolls into the station. Everyone climbs to their feet. Dil runs through the crowd toward the approaching train. When it stops, Dil jumps on board. He reaches down and touches the floor of the dark compartment. Blood soaks his fingers. His eyes wet with tears, he slowly steps deeper into the compartment. A dangling hand drips blood on the floor. A heap of dead bodies lie piled on the bunks. Dozens of massacred men fill the train. Dil stares, stunned and crying. Elsewhere, Hassan tunes a radio for his friends. Today, on August 15, the eve of India's independence, there are reports of bloodshed in Gurdaspur city. That means the Muslims there are being butchered, Chota says. The real bloodshed will start now. Millions of Hindus will run from Pakistan and millions of Muslims from Hindustan. The apocalypse is here. Sher Singh, if the situation worsens here, you can go to Amritsar. I'm not going anywhere. Lahore is my home. Whoever must go will go. The butcher arrives on his bicycle. The train just arrived from Gurdaspur city, he says, filled with dead bodies. All the Muslim men in it butchered, and four sacks filled with women's breasts. Our Dil Nawaz's sisters were on that train. We'll now play for you Prime Minister Nehru's speech given earlier today in New Delhi on the auspicious occasion of India's independence.
Long years ago, we made a tryst with destiny, and now the time comes when we shall redeem our pledge, not wholly or in full measure, but very substantially. At the stroke of the midnight hour, when the world sleeps, India will awake to life and freedom.
Hari listens sadly. These politicians speak with such twisted tongues. Some independence they give us, soaked in our brother's blood. The butcher pedals away.
For the service of India and her people and for the still larger cause of humanity.
Hassan turns off the radio. Later, Shanta pounds the laundry in the washing room. Bunty sits in her parlor doing needlepoint. She pricks her thumb and wipes the drop of blood onto the white fabric. She gets up and heads to the washing room. Nani? Yes, madam. Some of our friends are leaving Lahore for Amritsar. You have relatives there, don't you? Yes? Things might get out of control here. We think you should go with them. But madam, the Parsis aren't taking sides. Everyone knows that. As long as I'm with you, I'm safe. As you wish. This is your home, Shanta. Bunty leaves. Shanta returns to her laundry. Night falls on the streets of Lahore. Hassan takes a horse-driven cart with Shanta and Lenny. They stop. Can I ask Ice Candy Man how his sisters got in the gunny sack?
No,
absolutely not. Hassan lifts Lenny out of the cart and they make their way to Dil's house. Lenny, baby, just ask him how he is. They step out onto the rooftop, where Dil looks out over the street.
Ice Candy Man!
Dil turns around. Ice Candy Man, did you see your sisters in the gunny sack? Keep quiet, Lenny baby! It's all right. How are you, Dil Nawaz? Dil nods. Are you okay? Dil scoops up Lenny and points across the city. That's the Delhi Gateway. That's the Lahori Gateway. And there's the Mochi Gateway.
Hassan,
don't you live there? He nods. And that's Shalmi, where the Hindus live. Dil sets Lenny down. What are those Sikh fuckers doing here? A mob of Sikhs charges through the streets below. Why don't they go to India? It's not so easy to leave one's home, Hassan replies. The Sikhs chase a group of men down the street. The army runs in and clashes with them. The Sikhs fight them off with sticks and torches. The group watches from the safety of the rooftop. Long live India, death to Pakistan, the mob chants. A Muslim man is snatched by the crowd. Kill the Muslim bastard, someone yells. They tie ropes around his hands and feet. They tie him to two police jeep bumpers. Dil watches with a knitted brow as the jeeps tug at the man. The jeeps back away from each other, ripping the man apart. Shanta covers Lenny's eyes and pulls her away from the edge of the roof. Hassan follows them. I shouldn't have brought you here. I want to go home, Lenny pleads.
Lenny, baby.
Don't worry.
Lenny, baby.
As soon as things quiet down, I'll take you home. Dil looks out into the street. Look, the Hindu tenement is burning. Fire. Fires rage through the Hindu section of town. There goes the arsenal the Hindus had intended to use on us. A fire truck arrives. Thank God. Where did these bastards come from? The firefighters spray a burning building. But the flames grow higher. The firefighters run back into the truck and leave. They sprayed the building with petrol instead of water, Dil says.
Great.
The firefighters must be Muslim. Dil smiles at Shanta, who's shocked by his attitude. Hindus run from the raging fire, covered in flames. They roll on the ground, burning alive. Stay here. I'll see if I can help, Hassan says to Shanta, then runs down the stairs. Shanta steps away from the edge with Lenny, and Dil turns back to the street, confused and upset. Dil approaches them. He sits down beside Shanta, who cradles Lenny in her arms.
Shanta, Bibi. This is not
only about Hindus and Muslims. It's about what's inside us. Hindus, Muslims, Sikhs. We are all bastards. All animals. Like the lion in the zoo that Lenny baby is so scared of. He just lies there, waiting for the cage to open. And when it does, then God help us all. Shanta. Marry me. If you are with me, then the animal that's within me will be controlled. Shanta shakes her head. You know how much I love you. I'll marry you, Ice Candy Man, Lenny says. Dil stands and picks Lenny up. Shanta follows them. Later, Lenny swipes away a stack of games so that she can open her toy box. Addy watches her pull out a stuffed doll. She tosses the doll onto her bed and grabs a collection of other dolls from her dresser. She piles them on her bed and holds one out to Addy.
Pull, you pull.
They each grab an arm and a leg.
Pull harder. Pull harder, you pull.
The doll rips down the middle and its stuffing pours out. Lenny stares at the torn doll.
Why are you so mean if you can't stand it?
She buries her face in the doll and cries. Later in bed.
Mommy!
Lenny bolts up. Bunty runs in. It's all right, my baby. She says a prayer, waving her hand over the bed.
Are you banishing the
boys? Yes, my darling. Bunty sits on the edge of the bed.
See? It's blessed.
She gives Lenny a charm.
Suija, now you won't get any more bad dreams. Chalo, Suija.
Lenny closes her eyes. Bunty leaves. Nanny, sit with her. Shanta walks in. She kneels beside the bed. She gently fans Lenny. Meanwhile, Bunty returns to her bed. Rustam asks, is Lenny all right?
Hmm.
Yes, she's fine.
Janu?
Hmm.
Janu?
Hmm.
This neutral position isn't comfortable.
Try lying on your back.
It's not funny. To Janu, exactly what I'm talking about. We're letting down our neighbors.
Hmm. Hindu, Muslim ne Sikh, kon ne betray nahi kari hai? Who do we not betray? Best position, neutral position. If a Swiss can do it, so can we Parsis. We must all think Swiss.
Shanta continues to fan Lenny as the little girl drifts back to sleep. She sets down the fan and picks up the torn doll. Deeply disturbed, Shanta tries to pull the ripped doll back together. She frantically pins the doll's torn stomach. She tucks the stuffing back into the doll and quickly mends it. She covers her mouth. Shanta muffles her crying with the doll. Later, as Rustam sits in the courtyard getting a shave, Lenny approaches wearing a garland of flowers.
Daddy, it's my birthday.
So it is. So it is, Mama. You're a big girl now. Big girl.
Saddened, she pulls off the garland and walks away. Imam sits under the tree reading a newspaper. Lenny pulls down the paper.
Imam, Chacha, it's my birthday.
Many, many congratulations. He turns back to the paper. Lenny walks away. Adi and his mother walk into the courtyard.
No party? We'll have to have one right now. Imam Din, ekdam making cake.
Close your eyes.
Adi gives Lenny a kiss. The masseur can kiss Nanny better. Come and see the refugees next door. Yusuf says they're fallen women, Lenny says as she leads her cousin to a rooftop. In the adjoining courtyard, dozens of refugee women and children sit huddled around small fires. Lenny and Addy sneak along the rooftop. They peer down at the miserable scene. Look, fallen women.
Rape. What's that? I'll show you one day. Oi,
you, come here, Addy shouts to a young Muslim boy. Was your mother raped? When Hindus attacked our village, they killed everyone. I hid under the dead bodies. They killed your mother? Yes. Are you Hindus? No, Parsi. Want to play marbles? The boy asks. They shake their heads. After the Hindus left, I went to look for my mother. She was in a mosque. Her hair was tied to the ceiling fan. She was naked. It's my birthday. Do you want some cake? Lenny asks. Cake? What's that? Lenny and Addy share a sad glance. At night, Shanta and Lenny sit with their friends in the courtyard. Remember Kia Param? Dil asks, that miserly Hindu moneylender. Hassan and Hari nod. Well, we packed him off to India. You know what we found hidden in the walls of his house? What? Shanta asks. 900 gold guineas. He pulls out a money bag. Open your hand. He gives Shanta a gold coin and glances at Hassan. Shanta bites the coin. Then Lenny does the same. Shanta hands it back to Dil. Keep it. It's for you. No. But I brought it for you. Please keep it. I don't want it. Dil reluctantly takes it back and glances at Hassan. Where is Sher Singh? Shanta asks. He seems to have disappeared. Who's guarding the lion in the zoo? Asks Lenny. Nobody, Dil replies. After the atrocities the Sikhs committed, it's goodies left. Muslim refugees here want revenge. And you, do you also want revenge? Hassan asks. What is it to you? What kind of Muslim are you? If you want to know, I'll tell you. Yes, I have thrown grenades at Hindus and Sikhs who I've known all my life. I want to kill someone for each breast they cut off my sisters.
You're
right, brother, Chota says. There are some things that can drive you mad. God preserve us now. I've sent my family to Delhi. And soon I'll join them. And you, Hari. Where will you go? Where can I go? He says with profound sadness. I'm becoming a Muslim. Good. A number of you Hindus are converting, Dil says. While you're at it, change your name. Yes, when our friends want to kill us, says Chota, then we have few choices. Later, Shanta and Lenny sit privately with Hassan. I should leave Lahore. Madam says she'll send me to Amritsar. Maybe that's best for me. You don't have to go anywhere. Don't worry. I'm here. crying. Shanta heads inside.
Lenny, baby,
go to your room. Lenny gets up and hobbles away. And Hassan follows Shanta inside. Lenny creeps back. Hassan sits beside Shanta on her bed. Don't cry. I'm here. She hugs him tightly. Hassan wipes the tears from her cheeks and kisses her forehead. He kisses her lips. They kiss with growing passion. Hassan slips the sari off of her shoulder and lets down her long, silky hair. They lie down on the bed. He undoes a button of her choli, revealing her cleavage. He kisses between her breasts. Pulling off his tunic, he lies down on top of her and strokes her thigh. Kissing her neck, he spreads her legs. He unwraps the folds of her sari. He unties her petticoat. And kisses her stomach. They kiss with gentle passion. Hassan climbs between her legs. They make love in the candle-lit room. Lenny watches through a window. She looks up and spots Dil watching from another window. Dil storms away and pulls off his kufi cap. He stops in the middle of the courtyard. He pulls out a cigarette case from his pocket. He lights a cigarette. As he draws angrily on the smoke, tears roll down his cheeks. Dil wipes away his tears. He glances back at Shanta's room, then looks away.
Putting his kufi back on, he leaves. In her room, Shanta does up her choli and smiles bashfully.
Shanta?
Hmm? Why don't we get married? So what if I'm a Muslim? I'm yours. And always will be. Let's go to Amritsar. I'll become a Hindu. Marry me, Shanta. Yes. They share a big hug. Lenny steps down off her tiptoes and sadly walks away from the window. She shuffles through the courtyard. Later, Hassan rides his bike through a quiet, narrow laneway. He stops, gets off his bike, and steps into a building. He locks a steel door behind him and heads to an apartment door. Sher Singh, it's me, Hassan. Sher opens the door without his turban, but with a dagger in his hand. Hassan steps inside. These days, you can't be too sure. I didn't mean to scare you. It's all right, Sher's mother says. Even a sneeze is a cause for worry these days. I've made arrangements for us to cross the border to Amritsar, Hassan says. Will there be any danger? No. Ahmad Ali is doing good business hustling Hindus and Sikhs out of Lahore. He wants money in advance. All of you should get some rest. It's a long journey ahead. Son, what you've done for us, hiding us in your home, how can we ever thank you? Sher Singh is like my brother. Have a long life, son. May the 10 Sikh gurus bless you and give you a long life. Hassan gets up and leaves. Outside, he closes the door behind him. He anxiously wraps his scarf around his fist. He turns his bike around. Looking back over his shoulder toward the gunshot, he gets off his bike and walks it down the laneway. The next day, Shanta steps into the main house.
Bhaiji?
She finds Bunty lying in bed.
Kya baat hai,
what is it, Shanta?
Bhaiji,
madam,
meri shaadi
I'm getting
hai.
Married.
Sachi?
Really?
Ji, bhaiji.
To whom?
Kiske saath?
Dilnawaz, the ice candy man?
No,
to Hassan, the masseur.
Bhaiji,
madam,
bhaiji, wo
he's becoming
hai.
A Hindu. We'll leave Lahore and go to Amritsar. And get married there. Madam, you're not angry, are you?
Nara?
Angry?
No, not at all.
This is very good news. Does Lenny know? No. When are you leaving? Hassan says really soon. Don't tell Lenny or she'll come in your trousseau. But Lenny, baby, don't worry. I'll take care of everything. Okay, madam, I'll go now.
Shanta,
wait.
Bunty opens a cabinet and pulls out a beautiful green sari and a coin. She gives the coin to Shanta. Madam, but this is gold. Keep it carefully. This is for you too.
Bhaiji, thank you, Bhaiji. And dekho, make sure ki
make sure Hassan talks with us before you leave. Shanta happily runs from the room. She runs to the courtyard, clutching her new sari, and locks herself in a room. She sits down at her vanity and drapes the sari across her chest. She rubs perfume on her neck. She picks up a framed photo of herself with Lenny and places it onto the folded sari along with a small book, then ties them into a bundle. She holds the bundle in her lap. Elsewhere, Hari, why did you cut your pigtail? Lenny asks.
Lenny
baby, don't call me Hari. My name is Himat Ali now. Where is Nani, Hari? Sorry, I mean Himat Ali. At home. Himat stops walking, concerned by something in the street. He creeps towards something covered in a blanket and taps it with his foot. He nudges it, and it tips over. It's Hassan's dead body. A deep cut runs down his chest. Himat is shocked. What did they do to you, my friend? Lenny strokes Hassan's hand.
No.
Lenny baby,
let's go.
No.
Come on, let's go, he says, glancing over his shoulder. We shouldn't be here.
But the masseur.
He's dead. Himat runs to the Sefna house with Lenny in his arms. Hurry up. Bunty turns to Shanta. Get inside. Hide in my bedroom. Call my husband. As Shanta darts into the house, an angry mob storms up the driveway. They face off with Bunty, Lenny, and their servant friends. The police are coming. We are the police. What are you bastards up to? Demands Imam. Where are all the Hindus? Get them out. There are no Hindus here. This is a Parsi house. Where's Hari the gardener? Hari has become a Muslim. His name is now Himat Ali. Tell him to recite the Kalma. A man shoves Himat. There is no God but God, and Muhammad is his prophet, he recites. Let's see if you are a proper Muslim under your salwar. Iman shoves the man. Get away. I vouch for him. Why don't you ask the barber? He circumcised him. There is no barber here. They pull down Himat's salwar. Great. The barber did a good job on his penis. Bastards. Using religion for private fun. Shame on you. Where's Moti? Here he is. He's become a Christian, Yusuf says. Mr. David Massey. The priest married his daughter to a dwarf. I was there. So he's become a black-faced gentleman. Mr. Latrine Cleaner, David Massey. Now he'll sail off to England and marry a white woman. Where's the Hindu woman? That nanny demands the butcher emerging from the mob. She's gone, Iman says. She's gone nowhere. I told you she left Lahore. He's lying. Why are you lying, Imam Din? If that is so, then swear by Allah. Don't take Allah's name and defile it with your dirty tongue. So you're not ready to take an oath, liar? Imam touches his Quranic necklace. I swear by Allah, she's gone. What the hell is going on here? Dale steps forward. Get out of this place. Lenny hugs him. It's all right, madam, he says to Bunty. Don't be scared, Lenny, baby. I'm here. I know what will make Lenny baby smile. Ice cream. She nods. He scoops her up in his arms.
Lenny baby.
Tell me where Nanny is. I've come for her. She's here, isn't she? You know I'll do anything for her. Where is she? She's inside, in Mummy's bedroom, Lenny confides. Dill puts her down and turns to the mob. She's hiding inside. Ice Candy Man, I lied. She's not here, she left, I lied. She's gone to Amritsar. Dill squats in the driveway as the mob storms the house. He pulls out a cigarette. Calmly lights it. He blows smoke out his nose. Shanta is dragged from the house. She falls to the ground, but the mob picks her up and drags her down the driveway. Lenny chases after her, screaming. They toss Shanta onto the back of a cart. Dill marches to the cart as Bunty and Lenny run to help her. Dill grabs the reins of the horse. Imam is knocked to the ground, and Dill jumps into the cart with Shanta held down behind him. The cart pulls away, and the mob jogs behind it. Madam, madam, tell Hassan, Shanta yells. Bunty holds Lenny in her arms as they watch Shanta being taken away. A stone statue of a bishop stands in a Christian cemetery. More statues of distinguished Englishmen stand unmoved by the strong breeze.
~250 years of the British Empire ended in 1947. But what's there to show for it, except a country divided? The massacres and kidnappings, vendettas and more violence. Was it all worth it? 50 years have gone by since I betrayed Maya. Some say she married Ice Candywala. Some say they saw her in a brothel in Lahore. Others that they saw her in Amritsar. But I never set eyes on her again. And that day, 1947, when I lost Aya, I lost a large part of myself.
A woman hobbles out of the cemetery. Over 1 million people were killed in India's division. 7 million Muslims and 5 million Hindus and Sikhs were uprooted in the largest and most terrible exchange of population known to history. This described version of Earth was created by Audiovision Canada. The narrative description was written by J.J. Hunt, narrated by Rachel MacGyver, and produced by Valerie Hunter and Marco Sorin. Earth, written and directed by Deepa Mehta. Based on the book Cracking India by Bapsi Sidhwa. Executive producers David Hamilton, Jammu Sukhant. Producers Deepa Mehta and Masson. Creative producer Dilip Mehta. Director of photography Giles Nutkins. Editor Barry Farrell. Original music composed by A.R. Rahman. Lyrics, Javed Akhtar. Production designer, Arundhana Seth. Costume designer, Dali Aluwalia Tiwari. Casting, Uma Dakunya. Cast in order of appearance, Lenny Sethna, Mai Sethna. Shanta Daaya, Nandita Das. Imam Din, Kulbashan Karbanda. Yusuf, Bobby Singh. Bunti Sethna, Kittu Gidwani. Hari, Rajuvir Yadav. Cousin Adi, Kabir Chowdhury. Rustam Sethna, Arif Sakaria. Mr. Rogers, Eric Peterson. Mr. Singh, Gulshan Grover. Mrs. Rogers, Lauren Walker. Mrs. Singh, Sinaya Jain. Hassan the Masoor, Raul Khanna. Sher Singh, Navtej Singh Johar. Butcher, Pavan Malhotra. Tota Ramji, Sunil Mehra. Dil the Ice Candy Man, Amir Khan. Papu, Roshan Banu. Muchu, Radhika Singh. Boy at Bioscope, Varun Mehta. Muslim Father, Mahesh Gahalot. Muslim Mother, Jitanjil Chopra. Daughters, Sahiba Chopra, Sia Chopra, Annabelle. Little Sikh boy, Sandeep Singh. Young Sikh man, Rahul Ram. Young Muslim man, Ravinder Kumar. Papu's groom, Veer Prakash Nayar. Chote Bablu. Refugee police, Kumar Rajendra, Ashok Jain. Station master, Pradeep Kapoor. Radio announcer, Javed Jafari. Muslim man quartered, Hussein. Cousin Adi's mother, Malani Ramani. Refugee boy, Arif. Sher Singh's mother, Mohini Mathur. Sher Singh's sister, Mayura Baweja. Mob leader, Madhavendra. Moti, Mohammed Irshad. Mob members, Sagar Zakimi, Avinash Nimashwami. Nagesh Salwan, Adil Sheikh, Anil Prakash, Vinod Nahardi. Older Lenny, Bapsi Sidhwa. Crew, First Assistant Director, D. Dylan Gray. Second Assistant Director, Peter Palasik. Third Assistant Directors, Cast, Monsoon Bissell. Set, Kumar Rajendra. Extras, Harveer Singh. Key Set Production Assistant, Arun Venugopal. Set Production Assistants, Shefal Karamachandani, Loveline Tandon, Nitin Bhatt, Koel Pearl. Set Production Runner, Daulat Vault. Original score, Cracking the Earth, composed and directed by A.R. Rahman. Lenny's theme, composed and directed by A.R. Rahman. Basant, Spring, composed and directed by A.R. Rahman. Lyrics by Javed Akhtar. Vocals, Sukhvinder Singh. Hassan's Declaration, composed by A.R. Rahman. Lyrics by Javed Akhtar. Vocals by Hariharan. Wedding Song, composed and directed by A.R. Rahman. Lyrics by Javed Akhtar. Vocals by Satana Sargam. Refugees, composed and directed by A.R. Rahman. The Train from Hades, composed and directed by A.R. Rahman. Vocals by Sukhvinder Singh. Love Quartet, composed and directed by A.R. Rahman. Lyrics by Javed Akhtar. Vocals by Srinivas and Sukhvinder Singh. Shanta's Theme, composed and directed by A.R. Rahman. 1947. Composed and directed by A.R. Rahman. Lyrics by Javed Akhtar. Vocals by Asha Bhonsle. A Tryst with Destiny. Excerpt from Jawaharlal Nehru's speech, delivered at midnight, August 15, 1947, from New Delhi, India, on the eve of India's independence, courtesy of the Gramophone Company of India. For my father. Copyright, Cracking the Earth Films, Incorporated, 1998.